Welcome to episode 29 of Teachers Lift. In this episode, our hosts from Hong Kong U, Aditi and Colin, are chatting with Eleanor Kwan, the coordinator of our English in the Discipline courses for social sciences. Eleanor is going to share her insights about how to run a team of teachers to meet the literacy needs of our students. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this episode as much as we've enjoyed producing it for you. Now, I'll turn things over to Aditi and Colin. Take it away, you two. Have a great show.
Well, we are back on Teachers Lift again this week. Colin and I are very excited to talk to Dr. Eleanor Kwan today. Eleanor Kwan is a very experienced lecturer of English for Academic Purposes courses at the Center for Applied English Studies in Hong Kong U, who has been teaching not only on the undergraduate program, but also on the postgraduate and research postgraduate programs of the center for many, many years. She is currently the program coordinator of English for Social Sciences program, and that's what we are going to be talking to her about today. Welcome on the show, Eleanor.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Aditi. Well, when you say I'm experienced, well, I'm surprised how fast time passes by. Mm-hmm. Number two, I honestly don't feel I'm experienced. I feel that I keep learning every day. So, well, anyways.
How many years have you been teaching at the center, Eleanor?
More than 10. I think 11.
Yeah.
I stopped counting.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to first of all ask you, what kind of departments or subjects fall under the domain of social science? It seems like a very broad field.
Yes, I think there are six departments, like psychology, PPA, politics and public administration, geography, sociology, social work, and journalism. But what is interesting about social sciences students is that they are required to have a first major, but many of them are doing a second major or doing double minors.
That's a lot of courses and programs, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. Colin, you had a question about the different kind of courses, didn't you?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the course list here. So you have five courses for the social sciences, English in the discipline courses. So you've got one on research writing, one on academic and professional literacies and social work. You've got one for writing and psychology, one on great speeches, and one on writing reports. So could you tell us what was the sort of decision behind the choice of courses for the students?
Yes, it was a long story. I think, first of all the courses were products of discussion with the faculty. And I think the discussion went back to a few years before the four-year curriculum. And at that time, the idea was that, the faculty wanted variety. So, and because, as I said, students, they have the first majors, but they usually do a double major they have a second major or they're doing double minors. So they weren't first sure about the idea of English in the discipline courses because they don't want to they don't want to limit the students to learn just one discipline specific academic literacy. Okay. So, and also at that time thinking about asking students to do internships during summer, one of their graduation requirements. Okay. So the suggestions we got from them is that instead of discipline-specific English for academic purposes courses, they wanted a number of choices. They want public speaking courses, they want report writing courses to prepare students for the future jobs, for their summer internships. And yet, they also valued English for academic purposes courses, like academic literacy courses. So we also prepare or offer a number of them. Yes. as you can see from the five courses.
Do you have a particular favorite course that you like teaching?
Well, I was involved in developing the writing psychology course, and I've taught it since its first introduction.
What do you like about that course? Is there, what do you feel it's kind of, you know, interesting for a teacher who might be teaching that course?
Interesting for teachers. First of all, very intelligent students.
Mm-hmm.
It was very intimidating at the beginning because, honestly, I don't have a degree in psychology, and I didn't take psychology courses when I was an undergraduate student. So it was pretty intimidating, but I found that I learned a lot from the students. Yes, I think, I know that like later on you will ask questions about the qualities of teachers, but I think what is very important is that like teachers are willing to learn with the students. And yes, because we have smart students and they do have something to say, they have their own ideas. I think it is important to, instead of saying that, okay, I'm an English teacher, I'm a communication teacher, and you will take care of the subject, and I will focus on only the communication part. Well, students, they know that. They don't expect to have a psychology major to be their English teachers, but they appreciate teachers who are willing to learn from them, to ask them good questions. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
And do the students for this course, do they get to choose maybe their topics that they write about, or is there?
Yes, I think this is one of the challenges for teachers, because students are allowed to choose topics, even though we make some suggestions to students, but they can. And smart students usually have very good ideas what they want to write about.
Well, don't let them write about the psychology of their teacher, though, right?
They know that. They know they can't expect an English teacher to have a degree in psychology. Yeah, they're reasonable about that.
So what are the types of texts that students face in the courses? What sort of texts will they be writing or speaking or reading?
First of all, we try to cover both speaking and writing in each of the five courses. Yes. I think that is especially important because now, I think a few years ago, students are our COE, the core university English course, became optional to more number of students.
Yes.
So many of our social sciences students came to the English interdisciplinary courses without taking the core university English courses. So we need to make sure that we cover both skills, I think, number one. Mm. And regarding tests, as you can see, we have more generic English for specific purpose courses. We have academic writing courses or academic literacy courses, and we have a course for social work students which covers both academic literacies and also some of the reports they may need to do during their practicum. So it's hard to generalize, and I would say this is one of the challenges for the whole program.
Yeah,
is that I like during the past few years I have to learn very quickly. Yeah.
Learn about all these different genres that will be taught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a very different genre.
Mm-hmm. So why these three genres, like research writing, report writing, and speeches, are considered important within this faculty?
All right. The idea is that a lot of social science students, they may do a master sometime in the future, but a number of them, like, they join the government or they join some NGOs or they start working after graduation. So the faculty thinks that, and also, as I said, like summer internship or internship, became a graduation requirement in the 4-year curriculum. So the idea is that they would like to prepare students for that. Like they want students to be able to speak well, to be able to write reports, because if you work for the government, NGOs, you need to write lots of reports, and you also need to communicate your ideas well to the general public, right? Not just to your professors or tutors. So they are very forward-looking in that sense, I would say. Mm-hmm.
That's a very comprehensive range of texts and extremely impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, this can be quite challenging dealing with all these kind of different courses. So that brings me to the question, what have been your biggest successes and challenges as a program coordinator for English for Social Sciences courses?
I've talked about the major challenge, I would say. Like the variety of the courses mm-hmm. is definitely a challenge. Well, success, I won't say it's my success. I would say I'm very, very lucky to have great teachers, core team members. And I think without them, I won't be able to survive, honestly. I think as a team, like teaching team, core team, we are doing well in that sense. Like our teachers are willing to share ideas, share know-how, like, I think collaboration among teachers is very important.
But yes, I understand that, and I can see that you have a great team, but the great team needs a great leader as well. And not every team automatically becomes great without some guidance. So perhaps you can acknowledge your role in this, and if it is, what is that leadership skill that allows people to collaborate and share things and not withhold information? What would you think, is it about you or the kind of leadership style you follow that makes the team work?
You know, I don't want to really sound like a guru. I have to say, despite having great teachers, sometimes like, there's different opinions on things and... I think as the program coordinator, I learned to listen. I'm still trying hard to learn to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what I can say. I think, sometimes it is, I will say as a PC, because I think things can get pretty overwhelming in the sense that we have the courses are so different. and the details, like the assignment instructions, very different. The contents, very different. The even assignment due days are very different, okay?
The students are very different.
Yeah, I think things can get pretty overwhelming, but I can only say it is important not to think that I can do everything. Hmm. And sometimes it is hard because we all have the tendency to want to feel like we can control everything. But I think being a program coordinator in social sciences team, one of the lessons I've learned is that I'm not a superwoman. I have to learn, I have to learn to listen to my members, to rely on them. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I think listening is one of the biggest skills that any of us can have, whether as parents or teachers or students. It's important for all of us, and I think we're all struggling with that to a certain extent. We feel we know everything, and we feel we are in a position to tell others what to do. But most of the learning, as you said, comes from listening. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And yes, you talked about your challenges, and so your success would be in creating a good team that works. Would you say that is your biggest success, or is it something else?
Yeah, I would say so, but I don't know if my core team members will agree with that. Okay, let me put it this way. Yes.
Okay. And I know that Colin had a question for you, so off to Colin.
Yeah. So thinking about your teachers, what would you say is the most crucial advice that you would give to your teachers, or who are teaching on your course? So imagine maybe if Etty and I were going to start teaching your courses next semester, and we were having this meeting. What would you say to us as teachers of these courses? What advice would you give us?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I talk about willing to learn. I think it is let's just focus on social sciences students. I don't know that much about students in other faculties, okay? I think it is important for a teacher to learn to listen to students and at the same time to lead the students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I say learning, it has both meanings. Okay, one, the teachers need to learn the different genres. Sometimes the genres are pretty generic, or like maybe a funding proposal. But some of the genres can be very specific, like in-text summary for social work students, okay?
Sorry, what's a
like in-text summary
intake,
for social work students. For example, after your first interview with the clients, you need to write a summary. So it is a very specific genre for a specific discipline.
Okay.
So I think teachers need to be open-minded about that. Like, they also need to acknowledge that sometimes they don't know the subject matter as well as the teachers. But it's important, still important to learn. There are materials, like books, or maybe essays, articles on this genre. Okay, so it is important to keep learning. In that sense, because even though students may understand that, okay, our English teachers, my teacher doesn't have a major in that subject, still they hope that the teachers have some understanding of the genres. They have read, they hope that the teachers have read books, have read articles about how to write a specific genre. Okay, number one. And learning also, yes, in the sense that learn with students. I can't say I know a lot about psychology. I didn't take any online courses on psychology, but over the years I learned a lot from my psychology students. Yeah, so it is crucial. I think it's terribly crucial. And honestly, even we have an advanced writing course for social sciences students, and for that course, we still have a few students from psychology, we have students from geography, sociology students, politics and public administration students, and the way they conduct research can be quite different. All right. For psychology students, it is closer to scientific research. Okay. But for sociology students, many of them want to do qualitative research.
Mm.
And the way they structure their research report can be very different.
Oh.
So I think it is also crucial for teachers to learn with the students, because sometimes the students will say, okay, what you tell me about research writings in social sciences, well, can't be completely applied in my topic or in the way I design my research because, and then he or she will give you some articles to take a look at.
Okay.
It is really, it's good learning experiences, but yeah, it can be, sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, especially at the beginning, but I can only say I've learned a lot throughout the journey.
Yes. I'm just thinking, so let's say I'm a new teacher and I, you know, join your team, and I don't have all this knowledge. I don't know about the different kind of texts. I don't know, of course, about the content, the subject matter. Is it possible that the students may undermine my authority in the class?
Mm.
If this is the case, then how do we deal with this difference between content and language? How can I do to establish my respect in class, Eleanor?
Well, as a program coordinator, I will provide tests written, well, if I have a new teacher coming to the course, I will try my best to provide samples by previous students of the course. Okay. So I will show them a range of performance, like this is like an A plus sample, this is an A minus sample, it is B sample. So I think it is important. I think first of all, like, I think for all teachers, when they approach a new course, I think the most, well, one of the most important things is to figure out what the assignments are.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly students have to do for that course. I think I will certainly, well, it's important to understand the outcomes, the learning outcomes, and take a look at the course syllabus. And after that, it is the assignments. Because I will say maybe it's about Hong Kong students or university students or social science students, but it is, I think, they do think it is important for the teachers to know the assignments.
Right.
Okay. If they ask questions about the assignments and the teachers are like, oh, I'm not very sure, and it's something pretty general, like some pretty general questions rather than very, very specific questions, I think students will be like, well, do my teachers, well, does this teacher know what he or she is doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one. Mm-hmm. And I think course logistics is also important. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that is basic.
Mm-hmm.
But regarding content knowledge, yes, I think there's this negotiation of learners' identity or teachers' learners' identity in an English for academic purpose classes. Very interesting discussion, and I think this is something researchers will focus on or will further examine. But I feel that, like, even if a teacher shows that, oh, I at least students expect them to know the basics, course logistics, assignments, course contents. Okay. After that, the teachers have to be willing to talk to students instead of just, okay, this is what the booklet says. Okay, this is what the booklet says about research papers. Okay, research paper introduction. You have to have these 5 moves or 4 moves. I think the teachers also need to ask the student, okay, is it what you observe? This is what we found out from writing guidelines, okay, from APA publication manual. But let's take a look at the articles you have just read. Is it the case, etc.? Actually, I didn't really talk about it previously, but when we are designing booklets, variations is a very important theme. What do I mean by variation is that certainly we introduce different text types. But for each text type, yes, there are conventions, and students love to to learn those conventions. Okay? But it is always important to push them a bit, to show them that beyond variation, beyond conventions, there are variations.
I see.
Okay. For example, you need to have these four components in an abstract. And in some of our courses, we show them three examples. Okay? Mm. And then we show them, okay, all these abstracts include these four components. And yet we see different emphasis. Why? And this is where the discussion gets interesting. So going back to your question, I think how can a language teacher establish his or her authority in a language classroom or in an English for academic purpose course or classroom? I would say that it is important to show them both the conventions and then help them to challenge or question the conventions a bit. Yes. People love rules, and yet our students, because they're smart, they also like to question these rules, right?
Yes. That's a very, very good advice. I've never thought about it like this, and I've never got advice on English for Academic Purposes courses in this way. And I think this is a great takeaway for me. I can't explain how clear your answer was today. Thank you so much for appearing as our guest today, Eleanor. I knew I would learn something for you, and I am thrilled. It's been a great discussion. Thank you so much. Colin, what would you like to say to Eleanor?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree that this thing about, the variation within genres is absolutely essential as something that students need to know about, because students can walk away with this idea that everything must be done in a particular way, and if they do take that out, if that's the message that they get from the class, I think that can be actually quite damaging to their writing. I think this showing, that genres can come in lots of flavors and variation, and that genres mix and blend and kind of get mixed up. What's that guy's name again? I forgot his name. You'll have to edit this out.
What are you planning to say?
He had a name.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Bhatia. You're talking about
Bhatia. I think it was called gender, genre bending.
Genre bending, genre hybridity is all about conventions as well as variations.
Yeah.
And today I felt like these two words will be a major part of my teaching and my classroom vocabulary from today onwards. So thanks for that, Eleanor, and thanks for the whole interview. We appreciate you coming as our guest today, and hope to talk to you more.
Yeah, thank you, Aditi and Colin. Very nice discussion. Thank you.
Good chatting. Thanks,
Eleanor. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Teachers Lift. As always, we appreciate your support. And thanks for coming along today, Eleanor. I appreciated all your insights. The Lift is a collaborative project made by teachers at the Center for Applied English Studies at the University of Hong Kong, the English Language Center at the Hong Kong Polytechnic University, and the Center for Language Education at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. If you've liked this episode and you want to be sure you don't miss our future episodes, be sure to subscribe on the podcasting app of your choice. We also appreciate if you can like and subscribe on Facebook. All those clicks help keep us out there. We'll see you next time on Teachers Lift. Until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.